Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Life Full Circle, where talking points include pop culture, faith, politics, sports, entertainment, finances, and more. Your mind is too big to think about so little. And now, come full circle with Miguel Lloyd.
Devil is a lie. Technology has been fighting me all this morning, but we're live. It's Miguel, your host of Life Full Circle Radio, and as always, I want to say thank you for giving us a part of your Saturday morning. Today is not one of my favorite days of them all. Tomorrow will be my favorite days of them all because it'll be November 1st. Today is October 31st, and it's one of the most annoying holidays. I don't even hate it. It's just annoying. A lot of people be running around dressing like clowns. I just saw, and people say, don't be a spoil sport. Don't mess it up for the kids. You know, for people going to Harvest Fest and they're going to do the trunk or treating and all that stuff. And for most people going around and they're doing the candy thing and the kids are dressing up and they're having fun. Cool. But I just saw a picture of somebody on Facebook, who dressed up as a drunken woman who was drugged by Bill Cosby with Bill Cosby on their back. And so, it's that type of nonsense that bugs the mess out of me about the holidays. Let me bring in my man because we don't have to. We're doing a little bit shorter show today. Big O, what's going on, partner?
Did you say dressed like a drug woman for Bill Cosby? See, I was going to come one up you. I just saw a dude dressed up looking like the Biggie on the Biggie Ready to Die album. A grown man with shades and a diaper and an afro. But the best that I've seen, and I got to give credit to this. So wait a minute. This is completely off topic. But Wiener's Circle, which is in Chicago, completely transformed their store into McDowell's coming to America following. So they had McDowell's logo on the store, in the window, on the billboard, serving two all beef patties with special sauce and lettuce. I thought that was the best.
Hey, you know what? I'll give them points of creativity on that one.
That made me laugh.
You know, but
yeah,
when people run around,
the Halloween thing is sick, bro. It's
sick, and that's why we're not going to dedicate much more than what we just dedicated to Halloween. Let's move on, man. This week has been interesting. As we mentioned, we're going to do an abbreviated show today. Technical difficulties kind of cut our time, and that's fine. We're only going to do about an hour today, really more like 45 minutes. But the biggest topic of conversation this week has been the assault at Spring Valley. For people who may not know, or if you're listening to this show, here's the thing too, man. We've done so many of these shows, and sometimes I go back and I look at those topics, and things are happening so fast things are happening so fast out here in our communities that stuff happens, and a month later, we forgot it happened because so much of it is just bombarding us. So if you're listening to this podcast, this is the week. The assault at Spring Valley was a situation where this resource officer, walked into the kids' school, South Carolina. Young lady is on her cell phone, refuses to get off her cell phone. There's been many stories of her being in foster care, which I believe is absolutely true. There's stories that her mother is dead. There's others say that part of the story is not true, that her mother is dead to her because her mother is not raising her. Grandmother passed. Anyway, bottom line is this guy walks in, grabs this young lady, snatches her out of her seat, slams her to the floor, supposedly breaks her arm, bruises. And there's people who find ways to be on two sides of this particular conversation. And there's a few things that a lot of folks have been talking about this week. If the girl would have just complied, she wouldn't have had this issue. That's one. There, you know, there's a need for resource officers in the school because they're there to protect the students from each other. That's another part of the conversation. She was disrupting education, which is what we all want our kids to be, is better educated. Another part of the conversation. The prison, I mean, the school to prison pipeline is another part of the conversation. And so as I listen to all of these varying pieces of the conversation that has been going on, what continues to be the focus for me is, why is it necessary to walk into a classroom, make a spectacle? You want to talk about disrupting the educational process. What was more disruptive, a kid sitting there with a cell phone in their hand, or a grown man coming in there who has been deemed as Officer Slam, so this is not new to where he handles evidently the kids or whoever in school, coming in there, throwing this kid around, and then they also arrested a young lady who simply pulled out her cell phone and recorded. You know, I can't imagine, man, back when we were in high school in the late 80s, you know, early 90s, even experiencing anything like this. We had, God rest his soul, our quote-unquote resource officer, our quote-unquote security dude was an old dude. We used to call him Sweet Bobby Boyd. And he's passed away within the last 5 years. So we loved him. We respected him. Our school was not the worst school, but it definitely wasn't the best school. You know, as far as we had our problems with students who were a little rowdy and, you know, fights in the cafeteria and all that type of stuff. But I can't imagine being in a place where you've got a police officer, full regalia, you know, mace, gun, the whole nine, and he's a part of the regular climate of the school. And he comes in and does that. The other students in the room don't even respond, which to me equated to fear, or this is a normal occurrence. Which either way, I don't want my child in that type of environment. Oh, I don't. This week and watching this whole thing has been absolutely insane.
Man, I'm one of these folks that have become completely immune to these situations. They're successful with me. One, when you look at the young lady, all right, put your phone up. She asked you to do something. But then, I mean, as you stated, how many times have we had this conversation where professionals, you're paid to do something and you don't know how to handle a situation to temper your emotions? You flip her and the desk upside down, creating a spectacle, taking a situation even higher than what it needed to be. That's bonkers. But yeah, when you talk about this whole system as far as what we see in the school system, the guards come in armed, going through security screening to go into school every day, the kids laughing, rather pull out their phone and just recording it. We got that classroom too, the folks and a
We got a real bad connection with you, though. Can you?
Let me switch up here, so I'll connect you.
Okay. So as always, it's fixing this up. Should the kid have complied? Sure. But I've got my own kids. As I look at my own kids, my own teenager, who's a great, great young lady, you know. But there's times where she don't want to hear nothing I got to say. There's times that she doesn't want to comply. Am I going to snatch her up and make her comply? No, I'm going to understand this is a 15-year-old girl who has her own life. Now, is she supposed to respect me? Of course. Does she respect me? Of course. Right? But there are just times where there's going to be an eye roll, there's going to be some teeth sucking, and you're going to have to check them. But that checking them is not grabbing them, slamming their head, you know, potentially giving them concussions and breaking arms and all that to get their attention. There's other ways you get these children's attention. You know, they could have waited until that class period was over and had a conversation with her when everyone else was leaving that room. And maybe if they would have had that conversation, they would have realized maybe there was something else going on in this child's life. She's a foster child. You know, there's so many different ways to communicate when it comes down to cell phone. You know, so many different ways people may be reaching out to you, sending you messages. You know, you have been waiting on a call, a very important call, right? We as adults, you know, we sometimes forget. We, you know, we'll pick up a phone in a minute and just call whoever we want to call anytime, day or night, and forget that, okay, well, this person may be in a meeting. This person may be in class. Point being, there was a better way to handle that. And as bad as the situation was, the climate in that school that says now you have kids who are walking out, who are protesting the firing of this gentleman. I forget his name. I'll look it up in a second. You got kids that are protesting the firing of this gentleman because they want Officer Slam back in their school. And so that to me says two things. One, I would love to see the race and the culture of the people who are supporting this gentleman. And if there are any black folks that are supporting this stuff, it kind of goes back to, you know, as black folks back in the history, the ones used to support the slave catchers. Yeah, go get them, go get them. And people may say that may be an extreme point of view. I don't think that it is. There's no way in the world that I'm going to justify, no matter what that, you know, outside of that young lady spitting in her face, in that officer's face, or acting a plum fool in that room, there's nothing else to justify. What we saw, and I don't give a doggone, the people like Don Lemon and Raven Simone and these people who are out here justifying, well, if she just would have complied. And you've never been around a teenager. You've never been a teenager, which obviously is a lie. We've all been teenagers. There are times I'll never forget. The one time my grandmother who raised me ever, quote unquote, hit me was when she, and it wasn't even a real hit. It was she slapped me. She had a bra in her hand and she hit me with it. You know, doing laundry was because I popped off at the mouth and knew doggone well. And as a matter of fact, I think I was in my 20s. Popped off at the mouth and I looked like, Grandma, did you just hit me? And what's my point? My point is sometimes we don't think, we just respond. We don't know how long that incident went on with that young lady. We don't know if that particular teacher in that classroom had little to no patience. We don't know anything. We don't know the teacher. We don't know, because my understanding is that the tall black gentleman we've seen there with the walkie-talkie on his back is actually not the teacher. So you went through a teacher and administrator, and then you came down to this particular this officer. At that point, you know, this young lady could have been basically a silent protester to whatever was going on. No one's saying she was right. But there can be two people wrong, and they can be degrees of wrong. And that's what it boils down to. This is the degrees of wrong. The difference between an unruly child and a grown man who supposedly is bench pressing 300 pounds, squatting 600 pounds, and strength and conditioning coach of this football team, throwing her around like a rag doll. And that's not only just hurting her, but the mentality of the students in that room basically says, man, ain't nobody messing with dude. He's crazy. Slamming people around. Man, you know, and then you have situations where the absence of fathers, because of Lord knows, I don't give a dog on how big and strong you are. If I got to take a bat to your head, you're not putting your hands on my child like that. And so that's the absence of men in the lives of this woman. You know, this young lady to me was targeted. They knew she was relatively weak for whatever reason. No family support. And weak is not physical strength. Weak is a mindset. And if this young lady doesn't have a relationship with her mom, grandmother who raised her just recently passed in a foster home. A lot of people talk about, you know, I've never been in a foster home. I don't know any foster kids, but the stories I've heard about, sometimes the foster parents are good, and other times they're just there to get a check. Who knows what type of situation this girl is in? Who knows what emotional state she was in? Who knows if this young lady could have been menstruating? Going through something emotionally that was causing her just to feel. We have no idea. And so we need to show that young lady as adults more respect than that. And he owed her that. And so now he's fired.
As he should be.
and he should be. He should definitely be fired. But for kids to come out the next day protesting, now I'm hearing that the black kids are going to do an additional protest until the resource officers are removed from schools. I've heard that may happen in South Carolina next year. And what and this kind of goes back in the media age to OJ. And I'm going to collect the dots for you guys real quick. Here it is now 20 years later with the OJ Simpson situation. And it's very plausible to a lot of us as black folks who at the time absolutely drew the line in the sand and said OJ didn't do it, that he did it, right? But then it was completely, the line in the sand was all based in race. Because for once, black folks feel like a situation occurred and black folks as a whole came out on the positive end of the stick. This woman was murdered. Boyfriend was murdered. I personally have always had a theory. I thought his son did it. If it wasn't him, it was his son, but I think he was complicit. But point being, this situation mirrors that situation in that now something which could have been easily handled, probably, let's just say it was the absolutely beginning of class. They could have figured that thing out in 50 minutes or 10 minutes or however long left they had in that class, figured it out after class. Has now turned into a major international incident because of the fact that the process in that city and in many cities around the country is broken. Those type of people, those resource officers, should be called in a situation of a physical altercation. You don't call in somebody in there for a situation where the result could be detention or suspension, you know, because a cell phone, what are you going to get them, detention? Like my daughter's high school, I think I've seen signs in different classes when I walked around the school, you know, first time we take your phone, second time it's one day of detention for cell phones in class or something, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's, but now you got a major international incident, every news network, and now you got this guy fired, and now you got, you know, sheriffs doing press conferences, and now you got white kids doing this and black kids doing that, and this is on the heels of Columbia, South Carolina, which is in the same state of North Charleston, South Carolina, where you had your major incident with the nine people being murdered this summer. You also had the situation where Walter Scott was shot in the back, also in the same area. You also have the situation. Now, this is all within the last year, oh. Confederate flag, Walter Scott, you know, the nine people killed in North Charleston. Then you have a situation where the guy who kills them in North Charleston, instead of being beat up and slammed around and everything, he was taken in custody, put a bulletproof vest on, and taken to Burger King. People got to, you know, we got to get out of our own heads and really, really observe what is happening to our global, let's just start with our American and then global community. You can't hide nothing. You can't hide your ignorance because I firmly believe this. You know, most white folks, most assimilated Americans, because assimilated Americans are not just white folks. That's Hispanics, that's Asians, that's Middle Easterns, that's Europeans, Eastern Europeans. People come here and assimilate to American white culture. They don't give a doggone about racism. That's why they always, as soon as you start talking race, they say you're pulling the race card. Because to them, it's something that they don't want to deal with. Right? Because it's been something which they have benefited from it. There has been no benefit to this race situation for blacks in America. People can scream affirmative action all you want, set aside, all of those things. The reason why there's a need for a set aside is because without the set aside, most people who are just totally apathetic to the plight of an African American would never give you a contract, would not give you a shot. But what I do find is in my walks in business is that I go around and I meet a lot of people, and I meet a lot of people from major corporations, and I do want to talk about that this week as we talk about. I want to add a new segment to our, and oh, I want you to keep this in mind too, as we do different segments of the show. But what did we learn this week in business? Because when it comes down to it, what we learn in business is what would get us all in a better a better situation. And this week, I spent some time with a company called First Data. And what I find is that whether it be First Data, whether it be UPS, whether it be Chick-fil-A, whether it be Walmart, whether it be Target, you name it, they all have initiatives internally that they at least have on paper and is a policy that is focused on diversity. Diversity because of race, diversity as far as women inclusion, race inclusion. A lot of them are going to LGBT inclusion. And so there's at least a policy in place that you can go challenge them on those particular policies and say, hey, give me an opportunity for a contract. Give me an opportunity for a job. I am qualified. And, oh, by the way, you have this inclusion program over here. So what's my point? There wouldn't be any need for those type of initiatives if most people weren't just completely apathetic to other people's plights and situations. So white folks, business owners, whoever, just people, whether it be police officers, whether it be firemen, whether it be a loan officer, everybody at times sometimes needs to be reminded of the plight of the person that they're standing across from. And so a lot of the acting out of black folks is based in screaming, hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Don't forget me. I have value. That's why Black Lives Matter. You know, I posted just last night, I think it was, when I saw these kids in South Carolina who were walking out because of protesting the firing of Officer Slam. That to me just solidifies the reason why there's a need for a Black Lives Matter movement. Because for anybody to want to support that gentleman, I don't give a dog on what he did day to day in that school. I really don't. I really don't. Because for you to earn a nickname like Officer Slam tells me that you have a propensity to be violent with these kids. You may smile and but here's the thing. I'm pretty sure I can get some domestic violence victims on the line. And if you're a domestic violence victim and you can support this or have a response to this, our phone line is 310-807-5094. 310-807-5094 is the phone line. I'm sure some of the most charming and beguiling men, or let's just say a lot of the abusers are some of the most charming and beguiling men on the planet. Because for you to be an abuser and you have that type of personality, you're going to have to suck them in somehow. So, so don't tell me that this man, because he's a nice guy and he's fun and he's jovial, he's a strength and conditions coach and he's overall a nice guy, he's a nice guy till you piss him off. Once you piss him off, he's slamming your head up against the wall. And then we just move it on. We move on to somebody else. And so bottom line, man, you know, I know this has been a long intro and, you know, we short on time today, but as you can see, this is all in Spring Valley, and it really, really has me up in this. Kind of got me going this morning. But go ahead, jump in, man.
Listen, I hear you. I'm just, again, I'm immune to this whole thing. The amount of shows that we've done over the course of the last 15 months, we'll throw a couple of extra months on top of this year, about professionals, not people, regular people interacting with one another, but professional people not knowing how to conduct themselves in situations for which they're trained to do such. Yeah. Police officers losing their cool. Yeah, they're human, but this is far too common. In a school situation, you're an officer within a school district, a disrespectful teenage, male or female, is disrespecting you. That's the procedure. Show me in a handbook where it says flip you over, drag you out.
Yeah.
You know, you're trained for this. So that's something that you would expect the common person to handle. So I'm kind of back with this. Then something you didn't even touch into yet, and I know we'll get there eventually, even in this abbreviated show this week, is I watched that Republican debate.
Mm-hmm.
Nonsense. just absolute nonsense. But I will say this, at least they have viable candidates, whether you agree with their policies or anything, but you have some choices. On the Democratic side, it's do we look at Uncle Bernie, who is this 70-something-year-old white man from Vermont? Yeah, there's black people in Vermont, but guess what? I don't think that Uncle Bernie could relate to Miguel or Orlando or probably 86% of the people that we know and run circles with. So is he a viable candidate? And then Hillary, who continues to just lie and do other different things and so forth, I'm not down with her either, because that whole prison industrial complex was created during her husband's tenure, and to put a Clinton in office from my perspective means that, hey, we've had a Bush, an Obama, or a Clinton in office since the late 80s, and it's going to continue. So you're talking about a monarchy. And I want to throw something out there, and we can hit it a little bit more next week, but the acronym BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have departed from the IMF bank and have formed their own bank. Which
hold on, who is that again? Brazil,
what?
Say that again.
Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa have left the IMF and as of Monday formed their own bank. They are no longer respecting the dollar and utilizing the dollar as the number one trade currency in the world. No one's paying attention to this. Absolutely no one. So even if this is an unsuccessful adventure, it's going to do even more damage to the dollar. We were saying a couple of weeks ago, what is China doing by devaluing the dollar? There it is right there.
Well, you know, that's
Google it, see what's going on.
We got to pay attention
to other things than what we see. You know, ain't nobody worried about it. I know Millie helped, you know, Eli Pope break out. That's good entertainment, but we've been entertained and scared too long. It's time to just focus in, you know, focus in. Take care of your family, focus in, and start researching, doing things, man. You look at all of this effort on Halloween, all this other stuff, Meg. It's like, are we that damn distracted?
Yeah. We're definitely very distracted. There's no doubt about that. But to get back on your point about this currency situation, because, and we'll continue to preach this thing on this show until it's blue, until you're blue in the face. This is all about power. You know, this is completely about power. One of my favorite radio shows, and probably not one of my favorite radio show outside of my own right now, is hosted by Karen Hunter on SiriusXM. And why is that? Because, you know, she started off as it being an entrepreneurially driven show on SiriusXM, and it's evolved into a myriad of subject matter that basically couples entrepreneurship, business, and power, which includes politics. And that's the reason why you can't just focus on one and ignore the other. Most politicians are powerless without money. Let me say that again. Most politicians are powerless without money, which in turn gives them influence. That's all they care about is levels of influence. That's why you see politicians now jumping ship and becoming lobbyists, because they'll make 10 times as much money as a lobbyist than they ever would have made as a politician. President of the United States makes, I think, last time I paid attention, was $220,000 in salary being president. There are people out here selling insurance is making five times that. So, and that's why they leave office and they go into private life, and Bill Clinton is demanding $100,000 every time he opens up his mouth for more. So, we have to understand that we got to focus as much on business. And this thing you're talking about as far as the currency is important, because the only reason why Russia is not ready to go to war with us or China is because of currency. Brazil has the largest population of people from the African diaspora off of the continent of Africa in Brazil. India right now, with all of the engineering and technology and all the support that they're doing in the tech space, their economy is growing. You know, South Africa is South Africa, right? You know, as being, you know, probably the whitest country, I'm pretty sure there's probably not a probably, on the continent of Africa. And so, you know, that's interesting. Let's see what happens with that. Let's see how we respond with our economy. Obviously, you know, Russia's mad because, you know, we're not buying as much oil from them. You know, China and India, you know, it's one thing I've heard a process before, and then I'd love to do a little more research on that, to talk about Germany, the ones who are inventing everything. Japanese are the ones that are there's a process. The Japanese are the ones that are kind of putting it together, and then the construction of it is going to China, and I'm messing up how that goes. But basically, that's the process with a lot of the products that we have out here. And I want to do a little bit more research on that, and based on how the German patents are out there, the work of Japan. But the point being, you know, we got to wake up, man. While we sit up here fighting, you know, and letting our kids be undereducated, and they're more focused on not being slammed around by some brutalizing police officer, we're not educating them so they can compete. So once they get out here in the world, they can actually make a living and be a productive member of society. I'm not going to front, man. Some of these schools I went into with my daughter, my oldest now, living now with us as a teenager now in the 10th grade, as I started to do the research, I really started to feel it, brother. I did. I said, I walked around to these schools and I talked to these guidance counselors and I looked at these curriculums and I said to myself, I'm going to have to challenge my own child. I'm going to have to push her because mm-hmm. you know, if I don't push her, if people are really relying on this system as being the way that my child is going to be prepared to get out here, I see now what President Obama is saying, go ahead and get 2 years of college to everybody for free. Because they're walking out of here out of high school, you know, and one thing I can't say about these Georgia programs down here, if you put forth the initiative and say I want to get some of my college credits while I'm in high school, they offer it. But people have to want it. And that's something that I, you know, that we've talked about. People have to show an initiative. Society no longer is built on making people do anything. If you want to sit around and do nothing, if you want to just coast along, we put your behind out of school and you go out there and do whatever you got to do, because it is hard out here to have no intellect to make a living. It is hard work because the stuff that you used to be able to do, and you know what's so amazing to me, oh, how many jobs there are out here that black folks and poor people just, I don't want to do that. I don't want to dig ditches. I don't want to help build houses. I don't want to clean houses. All these things that the Hispanic community has come into America and said, hey, I'll do it in a heartbeat because I'm going to take care of my family. Well, you got all these folks running around that are basically saying, I know we said this. I think we talked, man, I know I'm all over the place. I'm trying to push everything into this show today. But I think I talked to you on the phone about this. I mean, we're going to do a show of why I'm not a liberal. And we're going to define all of these terms, liberal, progressive, conservative, fiscal conservative, social conservative. We're going to break all this stuff down. We're going to get some really smart people on this conversation and really talk about why. Because I'm going to tell you straight up, I consider myself a progressive, but I'm not a liberal. Because when I hear what folks who consider themselves liberal, what they absolutely totally believe in, unequivocally, I'm like, nah, I ain't down with that. Yeah, here's the interesting thing, and here's the story. Now, of course, I called, and you guys heard an exchange. It's been some years. I need to play it again. When I called into the Joe Madison show, one thing about Joe Madison, for people may not know, he hosts a morning time on Sirius XM Urban View, which is the only black talk formatted program, national program, probably in the nation. I don't know of any other. Probably why I kind of go through a painstaking exercise of listening when I can. Madison, man, he has great relationships. So I heard an interview just with him the other day, or yesterday, the day before, with L. Douglas Wilder. Fascinating, great conversation, right? L. Douglas Wilder, the first black governor since Reconstruction. Was a lieutenant governor and governor of Virginia. Went back to be mayor of Richmond, Virginia. Great Virginia. Great historian. But, you know, when he's talking to somebody like that, great conversation. You call in to his show. If you're not somebody he deems to have any credibility, you are simply someone to be taught. And if you don't listen to him, you're an idiot. And it's interesting. I called into his show because he was talking about, and very rarely I call in, because when I do call in, we generally don't have a good conversation. But he was talking about tipping. He talked about gratuity and how people need to be given a living wage if they're out here working in these restaurants. Need to be paid $15 an hour. Dude, you have no idea. You've never managed a P&L in your life if you think that a waitress or waiter is going to get $15 an hour just for walking in the door. You can imagine, you know, restaurants are some of the quickest businesses to fail. Why is that? It's so subjective. The money that you're going to make, it's hard to project what you're going to make. And your inventory has to go, right? You're buying food that has to go in the next 2 to 3 days, or it's done. You got to throw it out. You're losing money. You're losing money constantly, right? On a Tuesday afternoon, right? If you don't know how to manage your inventory, if you buy stuff on a Tuesday afternoon, nobody comes in there the next couple of days, you got to throw that out as trash. Okay. I worked my way through college, had rent, paid a car note, worked 4 days a week, worked my behind off those 4 days a week, also went to school 5 days a week, and I pulled it off. Did it for 6 years. Making $2.12 an hour and tips. Weekends, I could walk out of there $100, $150 in a night. This was 20 years ago. For people, for liberals to think that people that these restaurant owners, and stop looking at the Applebee's and Red Lobsters and all that and Chili's and Fridays, that's one level. But the mom and pop shops who are one off on the streets of New York, on the south side of Philadelphia, or here in Atlanta, and they don't have the corporate backing and they're just making money, you know, hand to mouth, you think they can afford to have somebody sit around for 5 hours, nobody walk through the door, and they pay that person for sitting there $60, $80, $100 for sitting there for the day? No. They're just not going to hire anybody. In comparison to somebody coming in and say, I'm going to make $2.12 a day, and every table that comes in here, I might be to make $20, $30 or whatever off that table if it's a large enough ticket, or 5 or 10 off that ticket. It doesn't matter. But the liberal mindset says everybody walks through the door just needs to be paid, regardless of qualifications. Regardless of your background, if you hire that person, pay them a living wage just so they can be sick and survive and make it. Take one for the team. It's not realistic, man. So when I call and try to start that discussion, he shuts down my mic, but acts like to his audience, oh, that he's still talking to me. You're not smart enough. You're not intelligent enough to know what I'm talking about, as he cuts off my mic. Because I tell him it's subjective, just like what I just said. Try to have an intelligent conversation. That's a liberal. Now, obviously, I can't talk to the extreme right or the conservatives either. And bringing this all back to a head when we talk about this assault of Spring Valley, you know, we have to have the ability to have a rational conversation about everything. You know, there's a new client that I picked up. I'm very proud to be involved in this process. I may, man, you know what, I need to talk to you too offline, because I may be in New York for a couple of days in the first part of next week. So we need to try to connect and see, I may be able to work together on something. But anyway, new product called a Legal EQ app, Legal Equalizer app. And so the basis of this app is you get stopped and interact with police. You pull out your phone, and all you do is hit this SOS button, and we're going to release this. We're actually going to release this next week on the national radio program, and I'll be tweeting, Facebooking about it. So make sure you guys stay in tune. That's Miguel Lloyd Inc. on Twitter and Miguel Lloyd on Facebook. But you pull out this app, you hit the SOS. You've already predetermined three people that you want to know. Hey, and a message will come up. Hey, I've been stopped by police. I'm safe right now, but here is my location. This is where I am. If you don't hear from me, blah, 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 right? You also can record the video. Record the video as the interaction is going on, and that video will be recorded in the database Now, it will also be on your phone in a database in the future so that people can chronicle this information. Now, you also get your Fourth Amendment rights. So you know what are your rights in that particular stop. So you're taking out this emotion of how you deal with that situation. You have information that tells you what to do and how to handle that situation. Now, a person with a liberal mindset would say, that's a gotcha app. That's a gotcha apparatus. We got the police. We got them. Conservatives will also look at it. Extreme conservatives will say, y'all just something else to sit up here and not show respect for our law enforcement officers. No, no, that's not it either. A person who has the ability to process this information will say, this will give the person on the other end with that phone their understanding of their rights and their responsibilities during that situation. Stop flying off the handle and wondering what your rights and responsibilities are. We need to know. We need to know what the Constitution says. We need to know what our local laws are saying, right? Because you may think what's okay for you to do in Texas may not be okay for you to do in Virginia, may not be okay for you to do in Pennsylvania. We need to understand that stuff. And so, you know, we've got to be able to handle all this stuff with a level head, man. With all this stuff going on, all the craziness going on, you know, me and my family, I was driving back from Jacksonville about two or three weeks ago. Coming back from Jacksonville, had my entire family in my car, and came down a hill. Car wasn't on cruise. Was going a few miles over the speed limit. Got stopped by the police. Now, my heart could have been palpitating. I could have remembered all the situations. Freddie Gray's and all those situations. I'm a black man. Man, what am I going to do? And people listen to this show know, people who know me know, I'm a proud black man. I love being black, but I hate no one. And so when that, and my father spent 23 years as a police officer, have a lot of respect for police officers. That gentleman came to the car, told me what the problem was, asked me for my license and registration, handed it to him. As I was reaching in for my license, he saw another piece of documentation in my wallet that told me that I was affiliated with the military. My wife obviously proudly served in the military. And he asked me, he said, are you a veteran? Now, I could have lied. Yes, sir, I'm a veteran. No. I said, no, I'm not a veteran. My wife is a veteran. She served. He said, well, you know what? I don't like to give tickets to veterans or their families. And then he explained to me at that moment that I could be considered a super speeder because I was going a certain miles an hour in a certain zone, whatever. Please slow down. I didn't argue with him, didn't get into a confrontation with him because why? I was wrong. Been driving for 4 hours. You know, sometimes it happens. That's why they invented cruise control. Sometimes you forget. Foot gets a little heavy. These cars and trucks are built to go fast. So, you know, rights and responsibilities, man. Legalized apps are going to help a lot of people with their rights and responsibilities and understanding that. We're going to launch it next week. Proud to be a part of that with Lloyd Media Group. We just got to be aware. I think, you know, as long as we continue to be low information type of people, we'll respond based on emotion. I think that, you know, we can't overindulge too much with too much liberal information, too much conservative information. We got to be able to grab this information, put it together, and come up with a synopsis that will better. Because the bottom line is, as black folks, as long as we get angry about every doggone thing, we'll always lose. We gotta find some rational balance in everything that we're doing.
No doubt. You're supposed to have an angered response. But I will say this: just because we respond as black people, don't mean that we are angry. Our response does not have to be the same way as someone else of another race. But that doesn't mean that we're
losing you again, though. Go ahead. So, I don't know if you're in a bad spot. We're losing you again. So as O continues, we'll get him straight.
Bad technology.
You're better now.
Can you hear me? So I guess we're just having technology challenges all day here. So I was just saying the way that we deal with anger is different for all of us. No, we don't need to be angry when it comes to an opportunity between you and a police officer. I'm not saying be extremely subservient, but, yo,
Yeah, we lost you again. So you don't want to be completely subservient, no doubt. I get that, man. We have to be, and no one's saying not to be angry, but you have to be measured with your anger. You have to channel it. You have to understand, you know, what is it going to take for there to be a positive outcome out of your anger? What is it going to take to be a positive outcome is going to come out of your, you know, one thing I can say, and I give him his due on this, and I talked about Joe Madison negatively, but I'll say this positively. He always talks about, okay, now what are you going to do about it? And that's what we have to focus on. We have to focus on the part that says, what are we going to do about it? And, you know, as much as I get involved with things socially, and I do, but I also say, maybe my calling, and not even maybe, I know my calling is to focus more on the business side. I think that the more that we are able to better our situation as far as ownership, you know, I was listening to Karen Hunter yesterday, and I'll tell you, man, I don't know this sister personally. We have connected. I've had a couple of clients on her show who've been on her show before. She's very, very receptive to positive and to positive images of our community. But she was like, she's reading my mind yesterday. She started talking about the Asian community and how the Asian community, they don't even really vote. They don't care about voting. You know, but what you do know is that you go in any major city in America and there is a Chinatown. And the signs in that part of town may be in English, but even if it's the city sign, it's going to be in English, and it will also be in Mandarin or some sort of Chinese dialect. Parts of towns that they can control. Why do you need to vote if you control the land? People are going to come to you. The people that are being voted for, whether you vote or not, whether they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, when it's all said and done, they're going to come see you because you control something. And the problem with Black folks is that we don't control nothing. You know, we're so quick. I get into these meetings with different groups and business groups that I'm in, and all this teaching that is going on and all this other stuff is going on. And let me not forget to plug our conference is coming up. One thing, something that'll be November 17th here in Atlanta, Georgia. My wife and Michael T. Hill with the Atlanta Metropolitan Black Chamber of Commerce. We're going to really spend a lot of time on leadership and marketing and entrepreneurship. Well, we're going to spend a lot of time exactly on what we're talking about at this very moment, and that is understanding that collectively we have to learn how to do business with each other. We have to learn how to be patient with each other. We have to learn how to train each other, how to do business with each other. Certain people out here, there's certain type of industry, certain business, we'll go to the local Chinese restaurant. We'll go to the local Korean hair spot. We'll go to the local Korean-owned nail salon. We'll go to the local eatery, and most of the time those places are not owned by Black folks. And if the service was bad, we'll cuss them out with our friends and talk bad about them. We'll go right back 2 weeks later and get them same people. We'll go right back into that Korean hair place and buy the same weave and the same clippers and the same press and whatever they have in there, whatever product they're serving. We don't challenge them because they act like they don't even speak English. Oh, no, I don't understand. No, you understand. You don't improve your service to me. I'm not bringing your business back. You understand that part. No more money. That's the conversation you need to have. But instead of having a conversation, be the most dangerous consumer of any business owner. And that's the consumer that doesn't do business with them anymore. Be that consumer. And then go out here and invent your own businesses, start your own businesses, and help to sustain those businesses in your community. Challenge the people to do right by you, but still start the businesses. And that's the challenge that we have to get into. We have to stop looking at it and trying to get 9 degrees, get deeper in debt, but to say that I have all these letters behind my name and still don't own anything. Stop chasing all these public sector jobs. Stop chasing all these jobs and give you 30 years and gold watch. We have to find other things that are out here, opportunities for us to create businesses. We have to get in a place where make people pay attention to you. Make people care. Black folks, when it's all said and done, most folks ain't racist. Most white folks aren't racist. They just don't care because you don't affect their lives. You don't affect their lives. Nothing about you means anything to them. Right? You know what I mean? You know, yeah, LeBron James. And here's the funny thing. This is how you know. This is how you know how interested people are. And you can go back 100 years to Jack Johnson. You can go back to Moms Mabley. You can go back to Red Fox. You can go back to Dick Gregory. You can go back to Sammy Davis Jr. You can go back to Harry Belafonte. You can go back to Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey, Jay-Z, Beyonce. When we doing something, they love it. When we're entertaining, when we're playing sports, they love it. But when it comes down to us being social advocates, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Tupac Shakur, Afeni Shakur, you name it, right? I can run down all the civil rights or the people who've actually had a voice, who had a voice but had no power. They had no money, right? Martin Luther King, people called Sammy Davis Jr. a Sambo because of the type of entertainment that he did, but he was the one that was bailing out people like Martin Luther King. Harry Belafonte. Well, he's the one that, to this day, Harry Belafonte is still involved in the Black Lives Matter movement. To this day. So, play our position, understand our position, play it well, define what it is, and don't be afraid to stay in that lane. Because there's a need for Black Lives Matter. There's a need for the Mean Hoodie Movement. There's a need for Walk with Jordan. There's a need for all of these organizations, but they don't exist without any sort of financial backing. And what ends up happening is that these organizations still have to go to the larger organizations, the white organizations, to get their support to even to exist, because we as black folks don't have no money because we're spending them on Jordans. And we want to buy the biggest house, the biggest car on the block. And we're not creating any generational or cultural wealth. And so find something out here. This stuff, man, I'm always looking for new opportunities to drive revenue in my family and to build long-term wealth. And it ain't easy, guys. Don't get me, man. Entrepreneurship is not easy. It is not. But I tell you what, if you stop trying to reinvent the wheel, I promise you most of the stuff that you want to do has already been done, and somebody's willing to franchise with you, or somebody's willing to help you, as long as you can broker a deal that's going to help them and you make money. They will. And it's white folks, it's black folks, it's whoever. If you're making money, a lot of these folks don't give a doggone about that assault on Spring Valley. They don't care. These white folks don't care nothing about police officers being in their schools, and police officers ain't in their schools in the suburbs. They're not. Right? Imagine if the police officers were in school when this incident happened in Colorado or Newtown. Right? Maybe these situations could have been prevented. But the places where these type of mass shootings are not happening, them cops are all up and down, up in there. Because Pookie won't get off her cell phone. Guys, we just got, Anyway, short show today. Oh, I know, I just rambled on for an hour. Lot on my mind today. But make sure you stay tuned. If you're in the Atlanta area, make sure, as you mentioned, go to onethingsummit.com. I promise you, in that particular forum, I'll be talking a lot more about business and social advocacy. But I'll sneak some of it up in there, no doubt. But onethingsummit.com, all of my Atlanta fam. I'm going to next week, more than likely won't be a show unless we record it early, because I'm going to be beholding the green and gold. I'm coming home, NSU fam. I'll be home in Virginia. I'll be in VA next weekend, 757 standard. I'm coming to VA to go celebrate North State homecoming. All right, big old man. Appreciate you, all our family out here. You've been listening to Life with Circle Radio. We'll talk to you all next time. God bless.